at you. I'm back. How you guys doing today, man?
Do you like
what you... We got a fun episode planned for you guys today. Gonna mix in some TV and movies today. Expand the palette a little bit.
Church. Yeah, I'm about to put that on Twitter. Actually, that's a good tweet.
What's that?
We don't want Kente Cloth Kendrick coming in here, bro.
Man, we gotta get the music podcast going, man. We got to,
bro. I'm trying, man.
I'd be down.
Life
to just,
is hard.
I'd be down to sit in on a couple episodes just to laugh, man.
Man, it'd be hard, man. Jesus. I told you, man. Hey, that tweet that I put up, that tweet was the realest tweet ever I ever saw.
What was that?
My God, I really do want to be creative, but I'm struggling.
Nah, I feel you.
I'm struggling to maintain life.
Maintain balance, bro. Equilibrium is tough, bro. Chat, we'll be getting started here in a minute, man. Thank you guys for hanging out today. If you guys are new to the pod, new to the stream when we're recording, we will try to include you in the chat, in the conversation as much as possible. But if you miss your question, comment, don't hold it against us.
You can hold it against me. I'll be your Huckleberry.
Okay. That's what we're doing today.
Hey, you know what? Somebody really thought they was a badass when they said that, too. Yeah, that's funny.
I'll be your Huckleberry. All right.
I need to save my sister-in-law's information in here.
Oh, man, happy birthday to your niece, too, man. I saw you tweet about that.
Oh, that little scumbag.
All right. Yikes. Young, successful black young lady out here, man. Young adult. Excuse me, chat. Yeah, I had to go fill my water up too. My shit was kind of low.
Yeah, last time, boy, it felt like my throat. I was like, bro, I wonder if people who talk for a living, like news hosts and stuff. Let me send out this blast real quick before we get started. I wonder if they feel like that.
You got to, man.
I could just repost yours. You saved me some time there, mate.
Hey. Yeah, Sersky. Sersky Minerskis.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Mm-mm, yeah, that man, look, bro. I don't know how to, wait, let me see, because I don't know how to spell Kente Cloth. Hold on.
I think it's K-E-N-T-E.
A.
Yeah, it is.
N-T-E. It is.
Yeah, that's exactly how you spell it.
There we go.
Yo, what's up, Weenie?
Hey, yo, Kendrick. Hey, yo, Kendrick, we don't want them
Kente Kendrick versus BBL Drizzy, man. Yo, you got to make that, man. You got to make a poster of that, bro. That's incredible.
We got to get our guy Boss Logic on the job.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about that later. That guy's crazy, bro. That guy crazy, man. All right. Let's do this, man. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 187 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy, Darius the Artist, and as always, got my co-host DC here with me today.
What up, though? It's your favorite know-it-all who don't know nothing at all. And I'm sorry, because I'm kind of invested in this damn rap beef, so I'm tweeting. Let me put my phone down. If you know me, you know I love music, so...
I'll say
the
this,
world
man.
Of Twitter and Reddit has ruined my life since this whole Kendrick and Drake debacle. You know what I'm saying?
Good time to be a hip-hop fan, man. If you don't have a dog in this fight, just remember, I always tell people you don't know them in real life. So just be a fan, man. Don't get to arguing with people. You know,
I like to state facts. I state my facts and then I leave because... People, they like who they like. They're going to defend who they want to defend. And is yeah,
which
that's
is fine.
Just pretty much.
I just think when stuff devolve into personal name calling and, you know, people get angry about their opinions not being agreed upon is what I got an issue with, man. Like,
whoever, yeah, people start beefing harder than the actual people who are rapping.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you're just contributing to the machine, the money machine at that point, because that's what they want. So. But
that's
yeah,
exactly
man, you know, I think maybe we'll do a side episode or something on some music. Because I really do.
Music is fun.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I consider myself a very casual music fan, you know. But I would really love to sit down and just have a conversation with you about a lot of things in the industry, because I feel like we think a lot on a lot of things when it comes to that. But that'll be an extra Patreon episode or something.
Yeah, and I got a lot to say about that Taylor Swift drop too.
I heard something about that too. I heard there was some controversy with her music, and I was like, man, I guess people are just, you know. I really do believe this is the year of truth, man. People telling their truths out here, and that's, you know, that's
Cat Williams called it, man.
Cat Williams did. Shout out to Cat Williams, man. But like I said, we're not here to talk about that today, man. We're here to talk about some actual fun stuff, man. And we got some quite interesting leaks and rumors and a couple of movies and TV shows, man. And, you know, I guess we can just start off with the Xbox news, or the alleged Xbox showcase. That people have been kind of talking about here and there. You know, we're kind of getting to showcase season, if you will. You know, we're a couple months out from a lot of the major showcases taking place. And, you know, I'm actually pretty interested to see what Xbox is going to do now that they have Activision officially under their umbrella. And it seems like we have a couple of ideas of some things they may be showing. And if any of this even holds up, man, like, I'm actually pretty excited for the next year, couple years with Xbox. And, you know, the first thing I really wanted to talk about, you know, because we talked about this last week. You know, we talked a little bit about Gears, but, you know, the rumor is that Gears 6 may be making an appearance at the showcase along with a couple of other titles. But I really, you know, I don't think it's a far-fetched statement. You know, let me know if you agree or disagree. Like, I don't think it's a far-fetched statement to say that Gears of War should be or is just as important to Xbox as Halo is or was at a certain point. You know, when you talk about, like,
that's a fair statement.
You know what I mean? When you
I think they're a pillar.
You know, you talk about pillar franchises, and I don't really feel like Gears 5 got the love it deserved. I know a lot of people weren't really happy with the way it ended, of course. You know, like I said, there's two different endings that you can get. But I really hope that Gears 6 kind of rounds out the story for what, you know, for Marcus Fenix and his children and, you know, that group of people. Because I think Gears of War is such an interesting universe. And I actually looked it up yesterday. I forgot they're working on a Gears TV show. I think it's with Netflix, which is very interesting, because, you know, we just had the Fallout TV show, very successful. You know, they just announced the second season. So I'm very curious to see if Microsoft's going to start making this marketing pivot towards Gears. I mean, you know, we could see something where Gears 6 gets announced, and, you know, maybe the same year it comes out, we might get a teaser for the Gears of War TV show, man. But I'm pretty excited about Gear. I hope we get something, man. I think it's time. It's been quite a long time since Gears 5 released, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. Gears 5 release date. I should have looked this up earlier. It's been 5 years. Jesus. Time is not real. It's 2019 when Gears 5 dropped. So I think it's about time we get some sort of update, man. I've always been a huge fan of Gears. I don't know about you, man. Would you be interested, or did you even play? Did you play 5? I don't think we ever really talked about
it. I played 5, and I really didn't. I didn't enjoy it at all. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm somewhat of a purist when it comes to that franchise. I believe the trilogy was enough for me. I love the trilogy. I wasn't too fond of the ending of 3, but as a whole, as a trilogy,
sure,
I've come to love it. And then it was like, I feel like they created 4 and 5 because people wanted it, but I feel like there was no true, like, admiration to create those two. Like, I feel like it was, those two were a little less inspiring in my eyes, in my opinion. I'm pretty sure people would disagree with me, but they felt less, I don't know, it felt less Gears-ish. Like, they relied on the formula of 1, 2, and 3, and I feel like they really didn't add anything to the last, like, 4 and 5, it seemed like it wasn't like these big set piece moments for me. Like, yeah. You know, for example, like, let's say, like, Gears 1, when you first fight the big spider thing, like, it was this big scene, like a build up to it.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I can't remember
not
names.
The, yeah, I forget. It's not the Brumac. I the forget what it's called.
Spider thingy.
Yeah.
Gears. And so there was like these lead ups. It was just, it was done really well in my eyes. And then it was like with 4 and 5, I don't know. Like, I just really couldn't get into those two. Not to say that they were bad games, but I played them.
Yeah.
And I was like, Gears needs a refresher. It needs six. I'm here for six, but it's going to have to start off like, which Gears of War was that? You started off like in a boss battle. I can't remember which one it was. Not Gears. I mean, God of War. I think it was like God of War 3. When you started off climbing like Mount Olympus.
Yeah,
it was 3.
Yeah, when you're climbing Olympus trying to, yeah. When you release the Titans after 2.
Yeah. I need 6 for just to start off with a bang like that. Like, and they have to add. Now, granted, I feel like they are a big reason why the cover system is the way it is in video games today. I believe wholeheartedly that they played a part in that. I love the cover system in the game.
Yeah.
But they're going to take that, for example. 6 is going to have to add some new flavor, new game-changing flavor, if they can. 2-6, like, you got to add some more things. I feel like 4 and 5 was just a wash, rinse, and repeat of 1, 2, and 3. Like, they're going to have to add maybe different kind of more, like, well, I don't want to say, like, more monsters. Just don't throw anything in there just to be throwing it in there. But maybe have another class of enemies or something like that, you know. But games like that do very well with, like, big set pieces, like big moments, yeah. Big boss battles, you know what I'm saying?
Gears always did kind of lend itself to that. And, you know, now that you mention it, I think I would say definitely 4 is the most forgettable for me. You know, I really don't.
I would agree.
I don't remember much of anything about playing Gears of War 4. And I think, and it's so funny, like I just mentioned, like Halo and Gears, right, kind of standing on the same platform. And I think what really probably changed for you and a lot of other people, and Tori, like he said in chat as well, that I forgot was Gears 3 was the last one that Epic made until Coalition took over for 4 and 5. So that, you know, I kind of look at that like, you know, Bungie handing off the reins of Halo to 343. So that definitely could be a contributing factor. Because I think the thing that I liked about the... I think the thing that I really liked about the first three games was... I won't necessarily say they were horror games, but you had that feeling of terror fighting some of these enemies, or, you know, the locusts were I mean, they were scary to a point. You know, you're not fighting some alien species, you're fighting monsters below your feet. And that, you know, I think that was one thing that really kind of set Gears apart, was it kind of lent itself very well to those horror elements of making you feel like you're fighting for your life. What was the berserkers? Like, I remember the first time you run into a berserker in Gears 1. Exactly. You know, the blind monster.
They were overpowering.
Yeah, normal bullets don't work on it. It's chasing you for every sound you make. It just takes off running at you like a train. Like,
it felt like an uphill battle.
Right, right.
And I think Gears of War mastered that. Like, you're in a dire state, right? Like, it's you against this alien nation.
Yeah.
And you guys are not, it's not looking good for humans. Like, it seems like it's a struggle, and you're put in this position to where, like, you're fighting for humanity, and it feel like it's a losing battle. Like, that strife is kind of what made, like, 1 through 3, like, really, really fun for me.
Yeah.
And then it was just like you said, 4, you came in with 4. It was like, where do we go from here? Like, 4 was literally, to me, the new owners of 4, now that you mention that, you know, people try to put their own take on something that's already established. And that could be pretty hard.
It is, you know. I couldn't imagine. Yeah, what they thought or wanted to do. Like, you know, because at that point, Gears was at its height on 360. You know what I mean? Like, like I said, I think it stands toe to toe with Halo when it comes to just
It's definitely a pillar. It's definitely one of Xbox pillars. That's why I want to see 6. I want to see 6 do well. But when you have a new team come in and they have to kind of mold their vision of what they want the game to be compared to what it was, you're fighting, you're kind of fighting against yourself. You know what I'm saying?
And it's just, it's going to be interesting to see where they kind of take it. I mean, I think the one thing that didn't get enough press that I wish really would have, and this is probably Xbox. I kind of lay the blame on at the feet of Xbox, was the Hivebusters DLC for 5. That definitely took you back to kind of like that horror kind of, you know, hey, you know, this is, you're behind enemy lines, you're running for your life trying to escape. And, you know, something that they could maybe look to do in 6 is maybe have something similar to like character classes, because in Hivebusters, each character had like their own set abilities and weaponry and stuff. Like, I would love to see that kind of stuff in Gears. You know, maybe that would kind of make the gameplay a little fresh for some people, and maybe make the game a little bit more dirty, because 4 and 5 were very, 5 was very bright, especially with like robot, you know, you had the robots and everything. And I mean, the game looked incredible. Like, don't get me wrong. I think Gears 5 is one of the best looking games of the previous generation, but I would really love to see them kind of return back more to like those horror roots. And I mean, honestly, I don't know why for the life of me, Xbox hasn't done like a Gears collection yet. Like an HD remaster, like they did with Halo. Like, why do we not have that at this point in time?
I think they're missing the market of people. Definitely with that one,
because that would be.
They don't.
Yeah, there's no. Gears
collection. I would definitely play them over.
Oh, 100%. You know, give me. You know, maybe that's something that. I mean, there's been.
You know what used to make me sick though about Gears?
What's that?
When you be running. Oh man!
Oh, the roadie
run. That running motion. Oh my god! Loved it because it seemed so cool, but at the same time, it was like, for some odd reason, like I would kind of get like a little motion sickness.
I was gonna say it must be it's probably the camera shake and the way that the camera kind of pulled back a little bit when you started running. Though. Yeah,
I would love. Oh man, I wonder how that would feel with a haptic controller. That gotta be crazy.
Oh, imagine like a haptic feedback like type PlayStation controller for Gears. See, and this is, you know, hopefully we get some sort of, you know, with this showcase, we'll get some sort of hardware announcement. I mean, you know, the all digital Series X that's been floating around since the court case with Activision. You know, I really hope that we get some sort of Gears information. You know, I think it's been long enough. Like I said, I know, you know, you had Gears Tactics that came out a couple years ago. If people like, you know, the real time strategy genre, that played pretty well for people, but yeah, yeah. I hope we get something, man. I mean, I don't think it'll come out this year. I see a 2025 release date at the earliest for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, maybe it drops in October or something. You know, get back to those horror roots. Like, I think that
besides the big Gears of War rumor, what else do you think they'll showcase at this showcase?
Well, and that's, I'm glad you asked, because another thing that kind of popped up was State of Decay 3. And that's something I really wanted to talk to you about too, because we haven't seen State of Decay, I think, since 2019 or 2018 when they first teased State of Decay 3. And it looked radically different from the second game. And I know you were somebody who I played quite a bit of State of Decay 2, but I know you put like far more hours on that. You know.
Yeah, I put a lot of hours into 1. I love 1. Honestly, to me, I would have to go back and look to compare.
Yeah.
Because I recall them in my eyes. I felt like they took a few steps back with 2. But I'm definitely excited for 3 and to see where they take the franchise. There's so much you can do with that franchise, especially now that those survival horror type games are on everyone's radar now.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, you got the Arcs, you got the, what's the other game? The one that just came out that was like super popular. With the little cute little animals.
You talking about Pal World?
World.
What would you think? Like, I really would want, I would love to see some more comprehensive like base building. I think that's something that was pretty cool in the second game, but I always felt like the maps were just really contained and very small. I don't know if that's just me, like with State of Decay, especially with the second game. Like, once you discover all the POIs, it was pretty routine. You kind of had routes you could run, you know, especially when you got cars and vehicles and stuff. I never really felt like,
yeah, you can set it up to where,
you know what I mean,
you can set it up to where you could survive, because I feel like those type of games is just, those type of games is just basically to see how long you can survive. It's almost like zombies on Call of Duty. Like, there's truly never really a ending. It's just, you're just fighting for your life. And then with State of Decay 2, I could see what you're saying by, you know, you have certain landmarks and then it seems kind of like...
It was very easy.
Small.
Yeah, I mean, let me not say easy.
If you play the game, it's like you have to... You have to go further and further to get, like, resources after a while. And you have to really set yourself up to take these trips. It's almost like planning, a lot of planning and strategizing involved. And it can be a little tedious. Like, once you get to a certain point in the game, it can get a little tedious. So hopefully they you know, they'll course correct all that and make it a little bit more rewarding as you go along. And and it doesn't necessarily, through my eyes, it doesn't necessarily have to be bigger per se. Maybe make it, because you know me, like, just make, do what you have with the land that you have. Like, make it more, make things, landmarks, and things like that more concurrent. You know what I mean? More buildings and stuff like that. It would do good, and that game would do good, like, in a cityscape, because it always seems like country.
That is a very good point. I would love a State of Decay in, like, a large city, because then you open it up to more, you know, you could have different kind of environments. I know a lot of people think city is just all urban. No, there's some cities that have, like, you know, parks, forests, and stuff. Like, there's...
You have residential areas.
Around it. Like, I think that would actually... I mean, I look at something like... The Division 2 had really good environment diversity and stuff. Yeah, like you had you know, you were in kind of like that DC area, but you still also, just like you said, you had those residential areas, you had those, you know, those foresty kind of areas. Like, I would love to see a kind of, you know, something that kind of shakes up the moment-to-moment gameplay, because after a while, you know, after you get your survivors and you assign them to certain things in your camp, it all becomes, like, very... routine, if you will, and it's just like you said, it's your micromanaging systems at that point, and that's just not fun for me personally.
But. And like with most surviving or survival games, we have to. I don't even want to hear the damn word encumbered. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it.
There's ways to make it not.
Yeah, not, it doesn't.
You know, because fun, not anti-fun. Let me say that. I think.
There was a survival game I was just playing, because I've played a lot. Oh, my God. And no, was it? I want to say it was Baldur's Gate 3, where every time I pick up something, it was like, oh, you're encumbered. You can't pick up nothing else. I'm like, I only have three freaking items. How much does this shit weigh? But
yeah, that's a good
one. I think
one.
It was Baldur's Gate 3. You have to do better. Like, games like that, they really, really have to take their time and figure out...
like the inventory system and stuff?
The inventory system, yes, there you go. They have to, because that can make or break a game. I promise you it can.
I think one that does it really well is Dragon's Dogma 2, because you have the ability to give your pawns items, and, you know, you can combine stuff, like, if you want to cook food, and, like, you know, I think that kind of system was...
But see,
because I'm definitely with you, because I feel like when I played Skyrim, I was always encumbered because I was just picking up everything.
That's when you get a companion, boy. Hey, I call him my mule. Especially in Skyrim, I always bring my little mule. I mean, my companion.
Yeah.
I'm hold this. I got this 80-pound sword. I need you to hold, squire.
Hold this for me. Shout out to Weenie and chat bringing up The Day Before. I'm convinced that game was a social experiment put on by the U.S. government, and nobody's ever gonna tell me otherwise. Like,
and now we're living it.
That was never a real video game, and it's that's just so funny, man. Oh my goodness. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I hope we get something. You know, it'd be nice to see what their plans are. I mean, a lot of Xbox really is at the point now where they should have some of those studios, that first second wave of studios they purchased should be starting to kind of, you know, show us something.
Churn the butter.
Yeah, let's see what y'all, you know, even if it, you know, I don't have to have a release date, I'm cool with that. Give me something though. Like, show me what you working on, what you got coming up. I would love to see like another actual gameplay, maybe gameplay teaser, State of Decay. That would hold me over for a little bit, because I think zombies are kind of making their way back into mainstream media a little bit. you know, Walking Dead still coming down, and what was the game that came out?
The various Walking Dead series.
What's the name of that zombie game that came out? Where you're parkouring. I can never remember the name of it.
Chat.
Somebody in chat will tell
me. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. I can't. I just cannot.
It's something life. Like, not.
Dead Island. Thank you, Darkstar. Yes. Oh my gosh. I don't know why I could not put that.
And Dead Island is one of those quirky games that's not talked about enough, but there is a big fan base for that game.
Yeah.
There you go, Weenie.
Dead Island and Dying Light. Yeah, both of those games were really kind of. I mean, the second game, I think Dying Light 2, I don't think people warmed up to it as much, but it, you know, it definitely still has a community of people. Every so often, I'll get like a little clip or something on TikTok of like Dying Light or Dead Island, somebody doing some crazy
people
parkour.
Love Dead Island. They love that game. There's definitely a fan base out there for Dead Island. I've been in them Reddit streets. They love that game, man.
What was the other one that was where you in the mall and you were playing the photographer, or you're playing Frank?
Left 4 Dead?
No, not Left 4 Dead. Oh my gosh. It was an Xbox exclusive. There was like 3 or 4 of them. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm positive. It wasn't Left 4 Dead, no. Because you had like 3 days to escape the mall. Oh my gosh. Somebody tell Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
Thank you. I would love
what
a Dead Rising.
What would we do without
game.
Our chat, man? Shout out the chat.
Mr. Frank West, man, I love Dead Rising, man. I would love to see like a remaster, or just imagine like.
Can I drop a little history on you?
Yeah, for sure.
Remember when the Xbox One came out and Dead Rising was one of the title games that came with it?
Yeah, man, like that.
Remember
was
they
big.
Were. Remember that game was touted to have the most zombies in a game because of the when they first started using cloud tech.
That's true.
They was using cloud tech to create all those zombies, and it was a lot. It was at least like 1,000 zombies on a screen at a time. Like, it was ridiculous. That game for Xbox One was so slept on, man. Like, I don't know. I think I might have been the only person playing that game.
Yeah, Dead Rising 4, for some reason, really didn't catch on to a lot of people, man. And I don't know if it was just, I think it was just that point where, you know, zombies were kind of like not as cool, I guess, in pop culture, you know, or
maybe
just,
they were burnt out.
Yeah, people weren't jiving with it. I mean, it's because I don't even know if they own the rights
for every
series,
good game.
But
you had about 5 bad games.
Yeah,
I remember when they were just throwing zombie games at the wall.
I remember the very first game where you did the Easter egg. If you killed, I think it was like 100,000 zombies or something, you got Mega Man's, like his blaster, and you could just walk around and use his blaster in the mall and stuff. That game was so innovative at the time.
I might go
man.
Back and just play that one day now. I really had fun with that game.
Yeah, Dead Rising was such a good game, man. But you asked me what I would want to see. I would love to see something like I said, State of Decay 3, maybe a Dead Rising teaser, like something, because, like, man, Xbox has so many titles under their belt right now, especially with the acquisition of Activision.
They logistically just need to get their shit together and then start pumping out titles, man, because they got a fortress of hits over there. Like,
they do, man. It's incredible that, you know, the things that they can do or should do, and hopefully we'll get some sort of update when it comes to that. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the showcase. You know, obviously we're going to get some sort of Call of Duty update. You know, people are talking about the next one that's supposed to be coming out. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get an announcement of some of the older games hitting Game Pass. I'd actually be down for that. Give me Black Ops 2. And you know, we in there like swimwear, because I think they actually fixed the servers not too long ago, so there's not as many cheaters roaming around, people roaming around with rocket launchers and all that nonsense we saw the last time we played. But we'll see what Xbox has up their sleeve, man. You know, when June hits, when they roll up the sleeve, now that we don't have E3 anymore, rip E3, man. But yeah, those are like the leaks and stuff, man. Now I really want to talk to you about Transformers, man. This is something I was actually pretty excited to jump in, so we got.
Oh, they dropped that bomb, boy! People wasn't. You know what's crazy? A lot of people were surprised to see this, and I've actually been following this for like since what, last year, I want to say?
Oh, okay.
Like, a lot of people didn't even know this movie was coming out.
I sure as fuck didn't. Let me say this. Yeah. I saw the logo. I thought it was just another live-action sequel, and I wrote it off. I'm not even going to lie to you. Because I haven't seen a Transformers movie. What was the one that was before Dark of the Moon? That was the last one I saw, whichever that one was.
I bought all of them, and it's just because I'm a fan. Doesn't mean that I like them. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, whichever one was like the Bumblebee prequel, I think that's the last one I saw. That one was actually pretty good, because me and Lisa watched that one a long time, like a couple years ago. But, you know, yeah, we got a trailer for this one. This was an animated, like a 3D animated film. I actually think it looks really good. But where are you kind of sitting with it, man? Like, I really want to hear your thoughts on it, you know, because you are, our de facto Transformers guy here, man. Like,
hey, look, where's my book? Oh, I didn't bring my book. Man, I got this thick, I got that Transformer encyclopedia that's about, like, super thick. Hold on, let me grab it. It's funny.
I can't wait to see this, man. It looks pretty interesting, man. You just got which COD did you just get, Darkstar? Was it the latest one? Was it Modern Warfare 3? Is that the one that's out now? I'm so out of touch with Call of Duty, man. I want to get back into it, but every time I work myself up, I just never pull the trigger on it, and I don't have a good reason. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about Call of Duty now. I think it's the way younger, like, most people play it now, with all the, you know, people just running around, you know, double tapping YY, just, you know, slide canceling and, you know, just doing all that crazy shit, man. I don't know, man. I don't know if I could ever jump back into it. I do want to play Warzone, but I just never want to spend the time to level my guns up, so I'm just kind of stuck, man.
Oh, my other one's in my closet, and Lord knows I'm not going in there. I might actually get lost. But this is one of my books.
Oh, that's actually really cool. So for our audio Everything listeners, he's holding up a Transformers. It looks like the Ultimate Guide. Oh, that's pretty fire, actually.
And then I have another one that's in my closet. I'm not going in there. It's scary.
Is this like an origin story, like a new origin story, or is this something that they've kind of told before with Optimus and Megatron being friends? Because I didn't know they were friends back in the day. I thought they always hated each other.
No, this is like alternate deep lore. It's something you wouldn't know unless, like, you're a hardcore fan and you know a lot about the past. Because, like most comic books, you know, DC, Marvel, whatever. Yeah. There's always like these multiple universes, or you have these different stories being told, and this is just another story. And what I like about this is it's based on Cybertron, so there's no Earthlings. Yeah. You don't have any convoluted humans like ruining it with these love interests or nothing like that. It's just straight robots, a story. Now, in this storyline, yeah, like way back in the day, a younger Optimus Prime, before he became a leader of the Autobots and all that, he was cool with Megatron. There was kind of like they had a civil situation, to say the least.
They're like Magneto and Xavier, kinda.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. And then... Where all of the strife came from was the fall of Cybertron, their homeworld. That's when things, like, when they kind of split up, they had different views of how they should do things. Like, so that's where, like, the split kind of came from. So this looks to take it back to, like, they're almost, I would say they would be, like, the equivalent of teenagers or late in their late teens. Like, they're that young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could tell by some of the cutscenes how, like, they're acting. You know what I'm saying? Because
that's true. They look very, like, young. Like, their names are different too, which I thought was interesting. They're not called Optimus
It's their Cybertronian names.
Oh, so it's like, okay, so it's like you know, somebody comes from a different country. This is my name here versus back home. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting story, and I could see how this can easily be made into a trilogy, because it could lead up to the fall of Cybertron and them leaving and actually showing the dividing factor between Megatron and Optimus Prime. It could even, I would love for it to even go further, because they can get to Unicron and Primals. Primals is the transformed version of Cybertron, because Cybertron can transform too. It's a person. They're living on a person.
A big guy.
Yeah, and he's bigger than Unicron. So let's just debunk that now, because there's a lot of Reddit talk. I was like, if you look at the 86 cartoon movie, if you look at it, he was standing on Cybertron. That's how big Cybertron was. He was standing on it. Now, there's some weird scaling. There is some weird scaling there, because at the same time, he did smack Cybertron, and he looked bigger than Cybertron. So I don't know if that was inconsistencies with the animation or what. Because at one point he looks bigger, and then there's another drawing where he's standing on it and Cybertron looks bigger. But that's just nerd lore. That's weird stuff that only I pay attention to. But in the encyclopedias and stuff like that, they have him actually bigger, slightly bigger than Unicron. But I mean, it's a lot of interesting stuff, man. Like, I am so hyped about this just because of them not refleshing the same old story. You know what I'm saying? Because right. They could have easily just did, the Autobots came to Earth. They could have just did the same thing the movies did, but it's just animated.
And see, that's the thing I was curious about. So, because we had the movie that came out last year. What was it? The one with the Beast. Rise of the Beast. Yeah. So is that like the end of the story for the live action movies? Or do you think they're going to keep making?
They got two more coming. They're creating a whole universe of movies, so certain characters will get spinoffs. That's the big thing in Hollywood right now, creating, and blame it on Marvel did this shit. Like, everybody wants to create these universes now, so it's like,
yeah, because aren't they making something with
Bumblebee
G.I. Joe
has another movie. Yeah, it's a and this was actually a thing in the cartoons where G.I. Joe showed up in Transformers universe. So they're not just making this up. This actually happened.
That
like,
is
in the
so
80s.
Insane. What was that like? Like, you know, young DC watching this as a kid with the, because that was really before you had like a lot of crossovers. And
it was like late 80s. It's exactly what you think. It was like late 80s corny as hell cartoons. But it was, I mean, it was what it was, because you had, my brother was like a big G.I. Joe head, and then I was a Transformer. So kind of combine them two worlds, you know what I'm saying? And it was actually, I would have to watch it again in my grown eye lens. Because when you're little, you just hype about anything.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the shit. I was like, because it was never my childhood knowledge. I never seen anything like that. Like two different cartoons.
Yeah, like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, world. That's like, oh man, I can't even imagine what the kids were thinking back then, like looking at that. And you know what? What I thought was cool too is just because I was looking at like the cast, like the voice actors. They have a lot of
big names
attached to this. You know,
Thor is Optimus.
Yeah, Thor is Optimus. Brian Tyree Henry, if you guys don't know that, he's from Atlanta.
You gotta call him by his name, Chris. What is it?
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Got Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is in this too, which I thought was actually pretty cool as well. I mean, this looks like they're really trying to, you know.
It's going to outdo the movies. I promise you.
You think so?
Yeah, it is. Because my thing is this. It's hard. Everything doesn't have to be live action. Transformers was cool the first time because we wanted to see the technology, right? The whole thing about Transformers 1 live action was, we was like, how are these cars going to look transforming? That's what everybody wanted to see. That was the big, oh man, let's see how it looked. And
that
it turned,
was like groundbreaking back then too. Yeah.
And then when you go, if you have Transformers 1, look at the behind the scenes documentary that's on there and how many computers they fried making that movie.
Yeah.
Like literally frying computers, trying to render one scene with, what's his name? Devastator, with all the construction robots merged together.
What are
there's a story Yeah, there's a story. You can look it up on YouTube if you don't have the DVD, where they talked about they was trying to render that for days because they didn't have computers powerful enough to render all that shit.
That's
And I
insane.
think it was like technology, like now we could just do it without a problem. It's just to show you how far we've come with technology, right? So that's always been crazy. And hey, if you guys hear some trees getting cut and stuff, it's because it's 11:50 and these guys decided to manicure the lawn. Assholes.
Keeping
Anyway.
his neighborhood looking nice over there, man. But
Yeah,
yeah,
something.
I was this was a welcome surprise for me, man. Like I said, because I've been so out of the loop with Transformers over the last like dang near decade. I mean, but
It's not your
it's funny
fault. It's
you
hard to
mentioned
keep
the
up with.
DVDs because I remember buying or my mom actually bought the very first DVD that the first Transformers, and I remember they were giving away that, what was it, a 2010 Camaro, man. I'm still salty about that because I feel like I should have won that. Like,
And
young.
yeah, because and that was another thing. Part one, let's not get it twisted. Part one was a big ass 2 hour Camaro
It was
promo.
100%.
It was a Camaro promo for the new, well, at that time, it was the new gen body style Camaro that everybody was going crazy for. Because I remember when that Camaro was a prototype for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And so, another little tidbit fact, when first Transformers came out, a lot of car companies told them to kick rocks. A lot of car companies was like, no, Benz,
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Ferrari. Yeah, a lot of they went to a lot of different car companies and they were told to kick rocks. No, because cars and car companies are really tricky because they don't want their car seen like in a certain limelight. It gets real weird. And then they didn't think the movie was going to do well. They didn't want their cars associated with a flop. And guess who said yes? GMC. All American car companies say, oh, hell yeah. They were the Chevy was like, yo, can we put our new Camaro in there? Oh, fuck that.
That was
We'll make it the highlight
definitely,
of the
yeah,
show.
I was
We'll
about
make
to
them
say, yeah,
Bumblebee.
that was definitely the highlight of the movie, man. And shout out to Bernie Mac when he was still alive, he was in it, man. And
Oh, Barney did
he
have
was
that
the
little
car, he was the
part.
car
He was the
salesman.
car salesman.
He sold the car to Shia LaBeouf, man, or Sam Witwicky, in the
Oh,
movie.
Shia LaBeouf. Hey, I don't care what y'all say, dog. Shia LaBeouf. Hey, he's a legend, okay?
Yeah, I love Shia, man. Like,
Shia LaBeouf is a freaking legend, man.
I kind of wish
I
they
didn't
would have
like
kept
him.
him like in the series, but because I think that was at the time he was having
Because then they went
some
to like
off.
Mark Wahlberg. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think if I remember right, he was having like some off-screen issues back then. I think that was the whole thing with him, and they kind of
Yeah, he
pivoted
was
away
going through a
from him.
lot.
Yeah, and I think
He
that's
was going through
when
a lot.
I think that's what really kind of put me off the series. Not necessarily because he wasn't in it, but I never feel like they finished his story in the movies. Because they always, the big thing with Transformers is always, especially when they're on Earth, they're always working together with humans to try to save them from, which is funny because humans realistically are just in the way. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like,
Yeah, pretty much.
you're just in the you're in the goddamn way.
We are the galaxy roaches. That's how I look at us
Yeah.
sometimes.
But yeah,
Like
this
we
and
really are a pest.
they didn't give this a did they give this a release date? It just says
That's coming
2024.
out this summer, I believe.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I
They're gonna do
mean,
it because Transformers always do like a summer date. Like
that's
they
true.
like it when it's hot outside. I don't know,
I'm very
but.
curious how they're gonna spin it to turn Megatron into Optimus's enemy because they seem like such
They
and
probably will follow the storyline.
yeah.
It's just gonna be a one of those I pick this side. Like I said, it's just rolling robots, Xavier and Magneto
Yeah.
type deal. They both kind of have like the same ideologies, but Megatron is just a little more fierce and about the ways he go about obtaining
Little
his
bit more
goals.
Malcolm X on his end, yeah.
And then you got to think because even when they get to Earth, it's like, okay, let's drain this planet of his resources. Let's build up Cybertron, right?
Yeah.
And you got, Optimus looking at the humans like, hey, these are living, breathing creatures. And you got to think Megatron view is like, hey, these are roaches. Like, we don't care. Like, there's so many little small like nuances in all the movies. If you look at them, like there's one Transformer movie, you know, he picks up the human and they're like, ugh, like they throw him. And he's like, ugh, yuck. Like they literally look at humans like they're like useless bugs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely the lure of Transformers is really, it could be really confusing sometimes. Cause like I said, there's actual like different timelines and dimensions where actually Megatron is good.
Really?
And the Autobot, yeah, there's different, like, it's weird. Like, there's different times where Optimus is not even a leader. Like, Optimus, there's timelines where I want to say Bumblebee's the leader. Or no, I think Optimus, Optimus dies so many times. And then Bumblebee's, like, the leader. Then you have, Decepticons have had, like, 20 leaders, bro.
I think.
Because they had, like, Shockwave, Soundwave. It was, like, it just depended on what comic you're reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really,
I think, one crazy. Of the things I remember as a kid, and I know we've talked about Beast Wars before, like, and you're not like a super big fan of Beast Wars, but I think what really, like, the one memory I have as a kid is finding out that there is more than one Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
You had I forget when the monkey version of Optimus, what his name was on the show, but he wasn't the original Optimus, which that blew my mind as a kid. Like, it would, I think you're right. It probably would do good to go back to watch it.
It's confusing. Yeah. Like, if you try to, like, dude, if you start like Wikipedia and stuff and just start like randomly looking up, it's deep, man. But what I want to see
Primal,
them do,
thank you, Dark Star. Yeah, Optimus Primal was his name. Yeah.
What I would like to see these new movies do, whether it's Transformers 1, because that's going to be his whole thing. I'm telling you, that's getting a trilogy. That's going to be his whole thing. I could see them introducing Shockwave, which Shockwave is like a badass. Like, he's freaking crazy.
Have we gotten what like I want them, Unicron, or not to cut you off, but have we gotten like Unicron or the other like super huge guy yet in any of the movies?
No. And that's going to be a hard sell. That's going to be.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I think they could do it in the animated version. It will look better. I think they can do it there, and it will fit. But a live action Unicron, that's a hard sell for me. But I want to see more obscure combiner Transformers. I want to see,
that would be cool.
I want to see the Stunticons. Stunticons was one of my favorites because they were like, they didn't serve no purpose at all, but they were just crazy as hell. Like, they were, because their leader was like Optimus, but he was a dark semi-truck. Like, he looked just like Optimus, but he was black.
Oh, like, I'm looking at it now. Oh, my God.
The Stunticons were crazy. They were just cars doing stunts. They were nuts. Like, they didn't care about shit.
They just,
like,
doing what their name says. Holy cow.
What's his face? Megatron would give them orders, and they just never listened. I want to see Predaking. Probably one of the strongest in the universe, in the Transformers universe. Predaking was a whole bunch of jungle animals that formed up to make just this one big monstrosity.
This guy looks insane. Oh my God.
Yeah, Predaking was, he was a beast. Like, they had problems with him. He was like their version of Galactus. Like,
had a
Metroplex. I want to see like Metroplex. I want to see some of the city. The actual transforming cities like Metroplex.
See, that would be cool though. Like, I agree with you. Like, having, because Marvel's kind of they're trying to take this route too, where they have some of the more obscure or not as popular outside of the main fandom, you know, heroes are starting to show up. I think this would actually be pretty cool, especially like you said, the animated films would do a lot better because. It's funny you mentioned Galactus because I just think about, God, what was the movie where he appeared in? It was that Fantastic Four movie where he was just a big cloud. Like,
We don't talk. Oh, he was a Putin win. That's what he was.
Some of that stuff just does not translate over to live action as well. I mean, I can't imagine.
It's a hard sell, man.
Yeah, like, you know.
And making it look good, like.
Making it look, I'm doing air quotes here, believable in a sense. Like, it would be a tough sell for a lot of people, I think. But I'm actually, this definitely has me
interested.
And
there's so many combiner Transformers. Like, there's a lot that they can pick from. But, like you said, I would rather see it in this animated movie than to see it, like, live action. Because let me tell you what Transformers 1 did to one of my favorites, the Destructicons. He had balls, man.
He did.
It was wrecking balls. It was wrecking balls between his legs. He had balls. And I felt like they did the Destructicons such a disservice to the Destructicons, because they, like, that in the earlier stages of Transformers, the Destructicons are such a big threat to them. That's, there's a whole story explaining why the Transformers basically had to go get the Dinobots, because the Dinobots were the only ones that could fight the Destructicons and Devastator. Like, when he formed into Devastator, especially if you watch the cartoon movie that came out in 86, like, when Devastator dropped down, everybody was like, oh, shit. Like, what are we supposed to do with that? So they had to call the Decepticon. I mean, they had to call the Dinobots, who were, like, in space, like, hey, yo, y'all need to get y'all ass down here. We getting stomped. Like, we out here getting cooked. But
that's so crazy, man.
Out. Let me calm down.
Nah, you know, man. Like, this is, but this is cool, though, because, you know, there's now that I'm just Googling stuff while you're talking about this, and that it's jogging my memory. I remember the Transformers Armada TV show from the early 2000s. Like, that show was pretty cool.
Yeah, Transformers always had TV shows, too.
They
They had cartoon, like, shows always, I want to say up to, like, 2013, 14. Like, they had different shows. Hell, they might have one out now. I don't really keep up with the cartoons like that. But they always had, like, some kind of Transformer cartoon has always been out.
I always enjoyed it. It's just fun to watch. I mean, like, you know, the mini-cons.
The concept.
The concept's just cool, man. Like, you know, young kid, young boy likes to watch trucks transform and punch each other. I mean, it's great. I don't
can't beat that, right?
Yeah, you just can't beat it. So yeah, I'm definitely interested in it, man. I'll see if I can talk my wife into going to see it. I don't know if she likes Transformers or not, but she did enjoy the Bumblebee movie.
And one thing real quick to all you Reddit users, quit complaining about Transformers 1. Quit complaining about, oh, what kind of cars are they? This is their Cybertronian mode.
They didn't even look like regular cars.
They didn't copy any. Remember, that's the thing, though. When they came to Earth, that's kind of like Lure, you know.
Right.
They copied Earth vehicles. So on this one, they're on Cybertron. So they're Cybertronian vehicles. That's why they look so weird, futuristic, and different. Like, people was on there like, oh, my God, what kind of car is that supposed to be? I'm like, even if you ain't know nothing about Transformers, I'm like, come on, you can't be that.
People just like to hate things, man. I don't get it. Like, I thought it was pretty interesting how they tackled that. I mean, the humor looks incredible in it, too. I mean,
yeah, like when they was learning to transform, it was
Bumblebee cut that guy's head off on accident. He didn't know he had, like, the blades, the energy blades and stuff. I don't know, man. Like, I'm a sucker for animated films. So, we'll definitely pick this up again when it releases. I do want to talk about this, so. That's Transformers 1, guys. If you haven't seen the trailer, it's out now, and it comes out sometime this year. So, but the last thing we're going to talk about before we get up out of here is Fallout. The Season 1 impressions, spoilers, whatever you want to call it. If you have not...
dig up my 3-page essay.
If you have not seen Fallout TV show and you don't want it spoiled for you, this is where you pause the podcast, you leave, you go watch those 8 episodes, and you come back.
Go take a dump and come back.
Don't tell me we didn't warn you, because we're just going to be talking about it from top to bottom. And, you know, I'll just start out by saying it. This is one of my favorite TV shows I've watched in the last few years.
Hey, but let me tell you, I actually took notes with leaving, like, spoilers out. I could talk about this without even talking about spoilers.
Nah, we going full gusto, man.
Oh, we going on.
I want to hear your spoiler takes, your impressions, like... You know, this was a very happy surprise as far as, like, game and show. Because, like I said, man, like, we kind of touched on the last episode. You know, gaming IPs are really starting to make that jump into other parts of media, into TV shows, film. And, you know, we're starting to get a lot of really good quality shows. And, you know, I mean, you even look at the Cyberpunk show, Edgerunners was incredible. You know, we talked about the Sonic films. You know, just a plethora of other stuff, but... I will say, like, when I start YouTubing stuff, when I start YouTubing questions I have and I get stuck, that's when I know I'm fully invested. I mean, I was even texting DC the other day about, you know, which Fallout game to start playing first, and because I'm actually interested in the series. And, You know, Weenie, yeah, shout out to Weenie in chat. He watched the series this past week as well, and he really enjoyed it, man. But, you know, I want to give you the floor, man. Like, just as somebody who is a fan of the series, like, what did you think about season one overall? You know, I know there were some discrepancies about timelines that Bethesda actually came out and corrected to shut the masses up. I'll say it. They shut them up about the New Vegas timeline and... Like, what did you think about just, like, the story, like, the
series? That was weird to me because it's like I said, they're in the universe, so.
Because this is technically the farthest point, I think I was reading. This is the farthest point in the Fallout timeline as far, like, you know, the events of the show happen after New Vegas. You know, because for those who didn't see the end of the series, there was a, you know, Henry, I think his name was, her dad. He shows up in front of New Vegas, and New Vegas looks like it's been through some stuff, man.
like the rest of the world,
yeah,
right?
it's looking pretty bad off from where I believe the games left off. So, yeah, man, how you kind of feeling about the Fallout TV show, man? Like just top to bottom.
Oh well, where do I start? Let me calm my nerd down. All right, hold on. First of all, overall. You ain't got to play the game. Go watch it.
No, that's true.
You don't need to know. You don't need to know shit about the game. It's just, it's a standalone on its own good ass show. Go watch it. Agreed. What I think, we're giving it a scale of 1 to 10. I give it a 9.5. It's that damn good to me.
Okay.
But see, I played the game, so I may judge it a little different.
Sure.
Man, overall, yeah, I would say I'm going to give it that high score. I'm going to, because one thing that I really love is a well-written piece, okay? And let me explain to you what I'm saying here. Character development here with Lucy. Lucy is the main character played by, is it Ella Purnell? Am I saying
yeah,
that right?
That's her name, correct, yeah.
Ella Purnell, beautiful lady. She is Lucy, one of the main characters, right? And her character development throughout these 8 episodes so far, it takes you on a trip, right? It takes you from this young, naive vault dweller who's never seen the outside world. She's been in the vault. I want to say she's maybe like her early 20s now. You know,
yeah,
like
she's
been in
young
there.
Adult, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so let's just throw it on there. Let's just say she's been in the vault 21 years. She's very naive. She's been fed the Kool-Aid that her dad has been giving her about, you know, whoa, we're going to go to the surface and we're going to clean up everything and make it great again. But all that shit is a lie. Her dad turns out to be a piece of shit. But she finds out that once she goes on this grand adventure and she leaves the vault, that everything isn't what it seems. She learns a lot of hard lessons. You can see her character slowly getting turned into this hardened type person, right?
Yeah.
This almost like, take it from a guy like me who's been deployed. You come back and you kind of have this hardened exterior, right? So there's certain moments in the show where you can see her just slowly turning into a hard-edged person. She gets to a point where she has to decapitate someone. Kind of fucks her head up, right?
Yeah, that was a tough one for her, for sure.
Yeah, like she was like that build up to that point. She was like, "Oh my god, like I really have to do this." Then you know she has another point along the show where she's kidnapped and they're trying to harvest her organs. So this is the first time she has to kill someone. So there's that. Now she's definitely like, yo, what the fuck? Like, y'all crazy up here. Then the final straw, I think, that really mentally broke her was pretty much her ending the suffering of her mom. I'll just say that. That was probably like the straw that was like you could literally see her. She was this happy-go-lucky person. And by the end, by the end of episode 8, it's like, she's just like, fuck it. You know, I'm here now.
She's a true wastelander, as they said in the show.
Yeah, yeah. Like that character development to me, the way that they did it, and you got to watch the show because I'm obviously skipping out a lot of parts. I kind of went from like a A to B to C
yeah.
type scenario. But when you watch the show, there's a whole bunch of things. Just the way that the people on the surface treat her, because she don't look dingy and wore out. She got on this big, bright-ass Volt 33 uniform. She looks out of place, right? So everyone's looking at her wherever she goes, and they're swifty. They're damn, what do you call them? No good-for-nothing tricksters. Everybody is on some bullshit, so... Yeah, I love that, man. I am a sucker for good writing, man. Oh my God. And that's just a small piece. Like, man, if you haven't watched the show, watch it, man.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think the thing that really, I think, surprised me just about Fallout, because you have, when you look at like apocalyptic settings and in like genres and whatnot, you know, every time I saw Fallout, I always thought it was more of a parody of like that, but I was completely wrong in watching this. You know, I had no idea Fallout was so dark and just...
Yeah, you sent me that clip. Tell them about that clip you sent me.
Oh, man, dog. Like, that, just the way that... Even from the very beginning, the way that they set it up, you know, to the bombs falling. You know, Walter Goggins' character is, you know...
It's bigger than your thumb. It's a nuke.
Yeah, man, you're dead. Like, that blows my mind. When you take your thumb, if you have to do that, you're dead either way. Like, you might just be a little less dead.
If the nuke cloud is bigger than your thumb, it's a nuke.
Like, that's like that whole setup for his character, the ghoul turning, you know, that guy turning into the ghoul and stuff, just from Vault-Tec being this evil company and just really seeing how they kind of took over society from all aspects, essentially. And it's, you know, when we were kind of talking, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, man, it really kind of cast this shadow that really had me thinking about just life in general and how we really are just that close to it all being over for, you know, just a group of people at a round table can decide that all this shit's done for. Like, hey, we want to start over. We don't like the way things are going. We want to be in control. Yeah. Like
that aspect, when y'all watch that shit, I'm going to let you know, it all goes downhill episode 6.
Yeah.
Explaining the true meaning behind the vaults and why they're doing this, and come to find out, like, there's this evil underlying scheme.
Yeah.
And what people would do to get rich. Like, dude.
Cause I hit him up.
I was like, "Yo, episode 6." Cause I think you were like two behind me.
Yeah, I think I was on 4 at the time, and I was just so naive because I always thought it was just like, "Okay, there are these vaults."
Lucy?
Yeah, I was. I would have been a vault dweller in the series. I just assumed that people were in these vaults because, yeah, the part of that, I guess, I was kind of right. Hey, the world's irradiated; they can't go up until, you know, they're the last vestiges of humanity. I had no idea that some of these other vaults, because like I tell you guys, I fell into a fucking hole on YouTube about the lore of some of these vaults and the experiments they were running.
Vault 4 and Vault 1.
Vault 68 and 69, and just some of the evil shit that these guys were doing in these vaults is just, you know, it really just hits home. Like, just some people who have all the power in the world. And I'm not talking about just like from a money standpoint. I'm talking like true control over things and people, and mm-hmm. how they can just, without any morality. And I think that was one of the things that, you know, really kind of hit me hard with Cooper, or the ghoul's character, and how he was really struggling with his morality. You know, he was a soldier who was on the front lines fighting in the war, only mm-hmm. to find out that Vault-Tec was really the one, they were the ones pulling the strings behind the scenes the entire time. And his wife, you know, how he started to really look at her differently in the show. And, you know, I get the feeling that they're still alive, especially after what he said at the end of episode 8 when he was talking to Henry, that him, because I had always wondered what happened to, you know, him and like his daughter
throughout
and his
the
wife.
Story. Yeah, you start to wonder, right?
Right, but
I when you realize who he is,
I get the feeling that he knows that they're still alive, especially, you know, like I said, the way he spoke to Henry. Because I just assumed that his wife might have been in Vault 31 with the rest of those Vault-Tec executives, but it seems like she's somewhere else. And he had, and Henry knows where she is, but he obviously didn't tell him anything. He escaped,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's just it really just, the show took that and really had me thinking just about humanity and just how just In the drop of a hat, it can really just all be over. Like, it all this shit can be done.
And what people don't realize is Henry's a piece of shit.
He is. He's a terrible
person.
This
man literally nuked a whole town because his wife took his kids.
We can talk about Shady Sands. I had no idea how important that was to Fallout lore until I started looking into it. And, I had to look at that whole scene, like with her, with Maximus and Lucy walking through Shady Sands, look at that in the new light, because I just assumed it was another city that got bombed during the initial the Great War, during the start of it, but that Shady Sands was a place that they were trying to rebuild. But it was just a situation once again where Vault-Tec was like, well, we can't control this place, we don't like how they're, we're not in charge, so
they're
just
independent thinkers, yeah. Get rid of them,
we're gonna completely just get rid of this place. And you look at where, I'm very curious how the Brotherhood started, the Brotherhood of Steel got started, because they seem like something that's completely and holistically independent of Vault-Tec. I kind of get like military vibes from them. Like they are probably some splintered off military faction from the U.S. government. That at least that's what I feel like. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's what I kind of feel like. They're
preservers of history,
right? They're trying to get back, and that's why I said that. Like, I feel like they're still standing on kind of those old American values that, hey, we're still in control. And that's what I really feel like their whole thing is. And
I think you're barking up the right tree. I'll say that,
because that's what it seems like to me. But and Maximus, yeah. his character was super interesting to me, because I'm gonna be honest with you, I thought he put that razor blade in his friend's boot so he could be the one to be the squire. Like, I thought he did that to his friend, but turns out that was completely wrong. We can talk about the gore and the
yeah. It's very, this show I'm talking about brains flying. It is a gore fest on certain parts, but
people's
I
want to
also touch
apart.
On Maximus. I think in a world that's really fucked up, you go out kind of looking for something that's not there.
Yeah.
But I think him and Lucy found each other because idealistically they have kind of the same, man, I just want somebody to trust.
Right. Right?
Like, I'm so like, can you imagine just living in a world where you just literally can't trust anyone? You always on 10. You always got to be on the lookout. So, usually I'm against like love interest in my stories, because sometimes I feel like they just throw them in there without it making too much sense.
Yeah.
But in this case, them two kind of getting together, it made sense. So I wasn't that mad at it, because Maximus, he couldn't trust anyone. He was in the Brotherhood, but he really didn't trust him like that. They treated him like shit. So
yeah, he
just was
just
there
thrown,
to survive.
Yeah, he just kind of got added to the ranks after the whole Shady Sands ordeal.
Yeah, because they found him when he was a kid.
Yeah, like, and
he was hiding in a refrigerator. So hey, everybody out there, if they ever drop nukes, make sure you get in your refrigerator.
I'm gonna call a little bullshit on that one, because if you go back and watch that scene, the refrigerator he was in had like an opening in the back.
I saw that it was a fan,
like, you
right?
can just see right through it. So I was like, how did he survive? That's why this is a little nitpicky stuff, but
maybe he's a ghoul, I don't know.
So I just,
maybe he's a ghoul, so I don't know. But no, with him and Lucy, because there's this moment, right? Oh, it's in episode 6 too, it's great. Lucy got a little itch she needed to get scratched, right?
Oh man.
Lucy said, "Hey yo, you trying to have sex?" And my man Maximus was like,
he was stuck on stupid. He didn't know what to say, man.
That man was like, "Huh?" I'm mad that when he turned her down, how she plopped on that bed. That shit was hilarious. She was like, okay. And then later on in the show, I can't even say what they said to insinuate sex. It was something exploding.
It was pretty insane the way that. And I think it's funny how you just look how indoctrinated Maximus was, right? Like how he described, having an erection is bad, and this is what, it's just, people's sense of morality. Yeah, because the
brotherhood, right?
Yeah, because of the way that they taught him.
That's weird, though, because they taught him that in the brotherhood. But if you look at the brotherhood scenes, there were some dudes, like, handling themselves in the background. I don't know if anybody...
I guess at the end of the day, boys will be boys.
Because I was like, yo, what are they doing in the background? Them dudes was in the bed just going ham.
And I'm that like, one guy, oh, my God, he was just no regard for anybody around. I had to do a double take on that scene. I was like, wait, what the fuck is he doing?
I was like, hey, yo, my man.
Yeah.
It's a tent full of dudes. He's just in here. That's the brotherhood. Gosh, and man. I guess, like, sex is banned in the brotherhood or something. It's because you got to think, like, brotherhood is, like, almost, like, culty, right?
They are, yeah.
Cult-like vibe. So I'm talking about my man woke up. Hey, Weenie, my man woke up. Like going crazy.
He had to get it out, I guess. You know, but you know what though? Honestly, when I look back on the show, that didn't surprise me as much as Lucy's cousin being in love with her. And not only that, but they had relations before that. Yeah. Like, you know, just thinking about, like,
because they was in the vault.
Because they're in the vault.
You have idle rules.
Right. And... like, you have a limited pool of people to choose from and procreate with to continue human life. And it's just, the show really messes with you from that point of view. Like, you're looking at these people like, man, that's fucking insane. I can't believe that people are, you know, that, you know, family members.
They were basically selecting people for you to have sex with.
Right.
There was no free will. There was no, like, oh, I'm attracted to this person. It was like, no, we need you to have sex with her.
It's absolutely insane, man. And just from that point of view and just looking at how, you know, shout out to her brother, too. I think he was probably one of my favorite characters. Norm, like her little brother.
Good old Norm going against the grain. Yeah, I like Norm.
Yeah, Norm was a kid who really, you know, he came into his own, too. And in a way, he had his own kind of adventure through the story where he knew something was wrong, especially with Vault 31 and how, you know, they seemed to be the ones in control. Because, you know, I saw the nice touch where they went back. If you notice, when they moved everyone into, or they took the tour of Vault 32 and it was all cleaned up, but the computer he accessed was destroyed. And that was, you know, the inverse. When he went in, the computer was still working, but everything else was destroyed. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Just like those little things are like, man, I really enjoyed the show. And
it's like three or four different stories that's starting to like intertwine.
Right.
And they did it really well. Like the ghoul, like, it's just moments with him to where you kind of start to sympathize with him after certain elements of the show. In the beginning, you just like, yo, he's an asshole.
I was like, man, yeah, I thought he was a jerk. I was like, he's a badass, but he's a jerk, bro. Like, he definitely taught her.
He's been hardened by that world. You could tell he's like, even when she met the doctor, the little weird old doctor, he was like basically telling her, like, you're not going to last out here. Like that. And then, bro, when she started drinking radiator water.
Oh, man, just, that dirty water was radiation water. That made me sick. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I just like, man, don't stick your face in that. I would die. I would die of thirst, man. I could not imagine drinking that murky
dystopia of nothingness. They were just walking. It was just like making me tired. Like, and then he started drinking water in her face.
Yeah,
like, and when, pure water.
When he bit her finger off, when she bit his finger off, I thought that was fucking insane. Like, the fact that they can just put limbs back on, is that something that happens in the game? Like, you can, or they make, like, you know, allusions to, like, if somebody loses a limb or something,
yeah,
you can just...
it's a lot. It's, man,
open a drawer of fingers and
shit. you don't want to know the lure. Like, the games is crazy, man.
That is insane.
The games are crazy. Like, there's a lot going on. And there was little, like, the stem packs is from the game, the rad, that stuff that cures radiation poison.
Yeah.
That's in the game. Like I was saying before in the last episode, you know, dog meat and stuff that they were eating, all that is like straight from the video game. When that man took off his booty meat, dog, he had booty bacon.
Bro.
You remember?
Yeah, when he was just the guy, the ghoul he was talking to, he just started. Start shaving meat off this guy's body, bro. I was like,
He told her to hit the butt. He said, don't forget that booty bacon, bro. And he had it on his backpack, just airing out.
Letting it cure, I guess. I don't know.
I'm forever. You know what? This might be the name of this episode. Booty bacon, bro.
Oh my gosh, man. Like that, the show was just like it was. And then the thing that grossed me out, I think, the most was the gulper. Is that what it's called? The big, that,
with all the fingers in his mouth.
Fingers in its mouth. Oh my gosh, bro.
Oh, wait until they introduce next season. Wait until they introduce, what is that? The big bad. They said they didn't want to put it in this season because they didn't want to rush it. Oh, what's that motherfucker who gives you problems in the game? The death, is it the death claw?
Oh no, nah. That don't even sound like something. Man, that's, it's just the show. The show was just, I think it was just so well written, man. It was the comedy in it was great. The guy who played Thaddeus, I forget his name, the actor.
Yeah, it's the death claw.
He is, he's hilarious, man. I've seen him in he was in Superstore. The guy, his whole character arc is just, it's crazy to me. And the fact that his foot looked like that after Maximus stepped on it, it was so, oh, that was funny.
Yeah. That it was just hanging meat. His big toe was hanging off. Yo, so, because basically, like, the Deathclaw is the big baddie in the Fallout universe. It's like this big-ass horn beast type of deal.
Oh, is that what and, the skull was? I think people,
yeah,
I
that's
people
what the skull was.
That was? Okay, yeah. Okay.
And I respect, what's his name? One of the directors. What is his name? Who did Dark Knight Rises and all that? Jonathan Nolan.
Yeah, I think so.
Because
yeah.
They were saying that he was like, I didn't want to rush it because I wanted to do it right. He was like, I want his intro to truly have an impact on a series.
Yeah, I'm looking so at it. So he was right now, like, Jesus Christ, what is this thing? That's crazy.
Yeah, so he was like, more than likely you may see it in season two, but he was like, I just don't want to throw it in there just because it's cool. I want it to make sense. And I was like, I respect that. Okay. I definitely respect you, you know, respecting the lure of the game. And, but yeah, those things are a beast. So I want to see, somebody's going to die when that thing's introduced. I guarantee it.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, like they definitely didn't shy away from death in the show. I mean, you know, when they broke in, Moldaver and her crew broke into the vault and stuff, like, I think that's when I was just really kind of blown away by the violence. You know, when Lucy hit that guy in the face and cut like half of his face with that blender, like that broken blender. And
oh,
stuff,
the dude she was supposed to marry, bro?
Yeah, that was just, it was insane, man.
And you know how nasty he is. Let me tell you, bro. Before he did what he had to do, he gonna have sex with her first. Ain't nobody noticed that, right?
Yeah, that was pretty messed up, yeah.
He's just like, you know what? I already got to kill them anyway. Let me act like I like her. Yeah. I was like, yo, this guy's an asshole.
Like, I love the, you know, the thing about the show is just like the whole power play. Everyone wants to be in control of the Wasteland, but it seems like nobody really is. But I'm curious, like, where the whole Vault-Tex, you know, where that storyline's going to end up, because I don't believe that Vault 31 has all of the executives in it. And I remember in the show that there was somebody, like when the ghoul or Cooper's wife was sitting at that round table, there was someone sitting above them in the shadows. I want to know who that guy is.
The shadowy figure.
Yeah, like I wonder if he's like the CEO of Vault-Tec or something. Like this, I have so many questions.
Man. He might just be a nuke.
Or he could be.
He's just the bomb. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just so curious about.
Y'all
like,
have to watch this,
it is.
Man.
Yeah, 100%, man. We could literally yap about this show forever, but I think we've gone on long enough.
Yeah, we're going to have to bust this episode down, boy. Yeah, but it's...
If man, you guys haven't seen so it, man, it, like I said, the first episode, I believe, is still free on Prime. You don't need a Prime subscription to watch it. And, you know, the first episode will definitely pull you in. I promise you that. And, you know, I'm gonna check out the Fallout games when I get some time, and I'll let you guys know what I think about them. Like, I think I've played 2 hours of Fallout 76, and that was it. So that's the breadth of my experience with it. But, yeah, I can't wait for season two. It'll probably be a while before we get it, obviously. But, you know, I'm going to give Amazon their props, man. Like, when they like, you know, they put money behind the series that they develop, you know.
It's actually been 10 years in the making, too. A lot of people don't realize
that. Oh, wow.
Like, this show is actually Bethesda been, they said ever since they created Fallout 3,
yeah,
movie executives have been coming to them about making it into a movie, and they specifically was very picky. They already had their ideas and stuff in place. They went and got Jonathan, I keep forgetting his name. Wait, it's in my notes. Jonathan Nolan. They specifically seeked him out to kind of direct, write, and produce this. And they did a good job because this shit is amazing.
It is, man. It's, you know, so if you guys haven't seen it, man, please check it out. No idea when season 2 is going to air, but they already announced it. So I'm sure they'll start working on it probably start filming it top of next year or something. So maybe we'll get it in like 2026 or, you know, who knows? So, but yeah, man, I think that's a good place to rapper and dapper, man. Thank y'all for hanging out, man, for episode 187. Very, very, as always, man, it's always fun hanging out with you guys, especially in chat, hanging out with my guy DC, man. I know we both been like super busy, haven't really talked as much, but it's always good that we can sit around the table with everybody here and just have a good time, man, to talk about the stuff that we love and we're passionate about. I appreciate everybody for being here today, man. I don't really have a lot to say. I'm just going to kind of just lead it on up out of here. But, man, you guys can find me everywhere. Darius the Artist on Twitter. Darius the Artist, where he is a 3. DC, take us home, baby.
Well, good Lord. Hallelujah. One hell of an episode because my throat is dry as hell. Yeah. Someone, I think I'm going to start, like, I think sucking on a peppermint might help with that. Maybe, maybe not. Okay. Yeah. We've been here long enough, so I'm going to make this quick. I got two things on the docket here. First, I want to give a shout out to my niece, whose birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
And I'm probably ahead over there and think she's going to go shopping. That's what she wants to do for her birthday. She wants to spend people's money.
As young ladies Hooray. Love to do. Yeah,
and she's closing in on graduation. But I think she got a year left in college. She got a year.
That's actually insane. Wow.
Crazy, right? She oh got a God. Year left. Yeah. I still look at her as a child. Like, but she's a grown-ass woman with a 4.5 GPA or something crazy like that.
Wow. But,
much congratulations to her, yeah, you know, awesome. Happy birthday. You know, she's awesome kid, always been on the right side of the law, you know. But yeah, well, I hope she has a great day. She's probably listening. If my brother's listening right now, she's probably listening. Shout out to Kayla.
Happy birthday.
Everyone say happy birthday. I don't know, Weenie. It's something like that. It's, I don't know. She's
smart.
She defied the laws of grades. I just... what do they call it? Summa cum laude on her way, all this other crazy stuff.
Jesus.
But
that's awesome.
My second thing I want to talk about. So we've been working, me and Pink Cybot, who we had on the show last year. She's cooking up something, my phone went off. Sorry. I'm looking at it. Oh no, Pink Cybot is doing a charity stream for veterans mental health.
Awesome. That's
cool. And she asked me to come on her stream, and you know, I'm gonna be passing that information out as she sends me more information.
Absolutely.
You guys will know, and then we're gonna rock out over there and show some support. She always support us, you know, she's been on the show, so we're gonna show our girl Pink Cybot some love once we get more information on this, and I would appreciate if you guys come on over there too.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. That's awesome, man. All right, guys, thank you guys for hanging out. If you guys are in chat, hang around. We're gonna play some video games, and after that,
what you playing today?
We're gonna jump back into Apex because we actually had a good day yesterday, so we're gonna try to bring that mojo forward into Saturday and hopefully not embarrass ourselves. But if you guys are in chat, hang around. If not, we will
thanks
see you
Bell
guys
Cross.
Next
appreciate
Saturday
it.
And I hope you guys have a good weekend. See you. Peace. Oh, chat. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. Chat, I'm going to get up and take a quick break, man, and use the bathroom. I'm going to get back. Like I said, when I get back, we're going to play some Apex. I think Dre and Mike are around.
I'll be watching you guys, and I'm going to be messing with my capture card because I want to play. I want to start my videos for Hilla Burton today.
Okay.
All right, wait, chat. Is that what it's called? Did I say it wrong? I'm sorry, chat. I am horrible. Hilla Burton. If y'all know me, man, I am so bad with names. Like, I'm awful. I'm trying to.
When I come back too, I told them you had some fun Tangeray stories from your military days, and Bellcross wanted to hear one of them. So,
oh, I didn't see that, Bellcross. Oh,
yeah, I told him about it. I told him about it yesterday. So when we come back, man, just jump in the Discord. Because we were talking about old drinks and stuff, bro. Back in the day. So we were talking about it yesterday.
Oh, man. You talking about doing Everclear shots and me fighting people? And we could talk about all that. It's in my past. Don't judge me.